The reading is taken from Romans chapter 12, verses 1 to 13. Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. For, by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment, in accordance with the measure of faith God has given you. Just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ, we who are many form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given us. If a man's gift is prophesying, let him use it in proportion to his faith. If it is serving, let him serve. If it is teaching, let him teach. If it is encouraging, let him encourage. If it is contributing to the needs of others, let him give generously. If it is leadership, let him govern diligently. If it is showing mercy, let him do it cheerfully. Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Honor one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor, serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with God's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. This is the word of the Lord.
Good morning. Let us begin with prayer. Heavenly Father, shine your light into our hearts, Lord, that we may receive your word, that we may receive the blessings that you have for us as we seek to serve you. In Jesus' name, amen. When people ask you where you go to church, how do you respond? What sort of words do you use in responding to that question? Perhaps you use words like, oh, it's spirit-filled, worship's great, friendly. Perhaps you use other phrases like, Chimes Cafe is fantastic, come along. I wonder if you use words such as these. They reach out in Christian love and compassion. It's a church that leads people into life-changing relationship in Jesus Christ. It's one that encourages and guides believers to mature in their faith, and one that works together effectively with shared values. If this is the type of church that you want to belong to, then you're in the right place, because these are the values of this church, Christ the Servant King, a church where everyone has an opportunity to serve. There are many people that go to church week after week, even year into year, soaking up the worship, soaking up the teaching, enjoying the fellowship, and yet they are still not serving. This is the spiritual challenge that is facing you today. Will you respond to the Holy Spirit's promptings? Will you bless those around you with the gifts and the talents that you have? My first job was at the age of 13, and I had a Saturday job working at a place called Peacocks. It was a retailer. And it taught me to measure people, to measure stock, to keep the store tidy and the stands tidy, and to replenish when people bought items. It was my first job, and then after that, I went into full-time work in retail. But it was when I began to work in fashion retail that I really thought that I'd found my niche in life. It was something that just clicked inside me. It was just amazing, that sense of just being in the right place. I was passionate, energetic. I loved engaging with the customers, loved attending to their needs. The customer was always right. The customer always came first. It was wonderful. Because there was something about being attentive to other people's needs that satisfied a deep, deep part of me. And I suggest today that it's the same with every one of you. Jesus is our model of servanthood. Whether he was in a small group or whether he was in enormous crowds, he was always looking out for other people. Whether he was on his own or whether he was with his disciples, it was the needs of others. He chose to look out for the needs of others. Interestingly, when the disciples were jostling for hierarchical position, wanting to be top dog in his group, Jesus flipped that situation on its head. And he said in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 20, "Whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant, and whoever wants to be first must be your slave. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve." I doubt if those that were asking that question wanted to really hear that and wanted to be faced with that challenge. This principle of serving others applies to all Christians, to every one of us gathered here. We all have a part to play. And Paul puts it this way in Galatians, verse 10, chapter 6. "Therefore, as people, as we have the opportunity, let us do good to all peoples, especially to those who belong to the family of believers," which means you and I as the church. We are blessed to be a blessing to others. There was a young woman who was born in 1902, and this is a very grainy picture because of the age of it, and her name is Gladys Aylward. And she was a teenager and worked as a housemaid. And she was brought up at a time when girls had a lesser place in society. But in 1932, she felt called by God to go to China. And she approached a mission agency, but they refused her fare. So not one to be discouraged, Gladys saved up and paid for herself. And she faced many challenges, you can imagine, in 1932, getting from England across to China. It was an enormous challenge in itself, let alone the fact that she was working in a place so remote. She was well known for her work protecting young children. And her work became the subject of a book written about her called The Small Woman, which later became a motion picture. But in more recent times, there's a man called Ben Carson who was raised by a single mother in inner city Detroit. And he had a terrible, terrible temper as a small child. But at the age of 33, Ben became known as the first successful neurosurgeon to operate on twins that were born at the back of the head. He is known as a Christian. And in his book called Healing Hands, Ben reveals the difference his Christian faith has made in his amazing success. His life work is serving others through the gifts that God has given him as a surgeon. In 19th century, there was a man in England called George Muller, known particularly as a helper of orphans. His autobiography tells of his incredible prayer ministry. He would sit at the table with the children, the orphan children gathered round him, no food on the table, but praying and believing for food to be put on the table. And the stories of vans arriving with the food so the children were able to be fed. This was insistent prayer. Now, what is little known about this man of God before he became a Christian was that he was a thief and had a reputation as such. Now, I share these glimpses of these extraordinary people because until they put their life in God's hands, they were ordinary people just like you and I. Now, you might have an excuse in thinking, oh, I don't have the money, I don't have the time, I don't have the skills. But these three examples show that when you give what you have to God, He can do extraordinary things with it. God has blessed us with talents and gifts and resources in order that we become a blessing to others. And in blessing others, we too are blessed. One more example, a more recent one, is of a Malaysian boy called Jeshurun Vincent, who at the age of 19 had a life-changing experience when he lost his hearing on one side. And those around him were trying to pass judgment about God inflicting this on him, but he knew better, and he decided not to wallow in self-pity, but to draw closer to God in this situation. And he said that God spoke to him and said he was going to travel the world to many places and serve him. Well, Joshua began to play the guitar and he funded trips himself around Asia to go and spread the word and the good news of Jesus Christ. Joshua said, I was scared at first. How would I survive? How would I do it? Where would the money come from? How would I keep my job? Then he realized that he was looking at the mountain and not at the God who overcomes mountains. What have become your mountains? Your reasons why you aren't serving? The reasons why you're not using your gifts and your talents to bless others. When the church asks for volunteers to help with various events, and we've got the big picnic this afternoon as a prime example, the mountains of reasons appear. I can't do it because... The reason that we ask as a church is that we want you to be blessed in blessing others. Because God will get his work done. But God wants to involve us because he wants to bless us in what we are offering him. And this is your eternal commission. In the reading of Romans today, verse 1, you are urged, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. We know that we cannot add anything to what Jesus has done because Jesus placed himself on the altar, dying to selfish thinking, to become totally surrendered to God. And when we lay down our lives in trust in God's infinite wisdom, just like Jesus did, and just like those others, the examples that I gave of Gladys Aylward, Ben Carson, and others, God takes the ordinary and turns it into extraordinary. He'll take the natural and add his supernatural. But we do have to put our bodies on the altar, as we heard in that voice, to serve God. And you may have heard this quote before by the famous American evangelist D.L. Moody, who said, "The trouble with putting your flesh on the altar is that it keeps crawling off." And that is so true, isn't it? That when we try to do things well, that we have to keep coming back to the altar. And Ephesians puts it perfectly. "You, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love." If you love the Lord, you understand that immense thing that he did, giving his life in exchange for ours. And as Jesus said in Luke 5:31, it's not the healthy that need a doctor, it's the sick. If you love the Lord, your desires change. It's because of this overwhelming love that Jesus has for each and every one of us, the Father's love for every one of us, that we offer ourselves as a living sacrifice. It's not because we want something in exchange. It's not because we think we'll get a better place in heaven. It's because he loves us. So you can't help but want to do something to return that love. And each of us is equipped by God for service in his church. And I know a number of you might be thinking right now, "Not me, I'm not equipped, I'm not skilled." But that's not true, because the book of Romans states, "For just as each one of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts." It's very clear, each member. Not a special few, not a selected few, each. That's all of us. Christ the servant king has got great values and has a vision for so much to achieve for God's kingdom. I mentioned some of them earlier, but they do reflect the heart of this church to serve. So here are those values, but what you'll see in the latter part is really how we serve, where every person can find their place and play their part, where the word of God is preached, taught, and lived out, where every member is passionate and generous in giving their time, energy, and money, where servant leadership is understood and demonstrated. There are many opportunities to get involved. Care for the elderly, helping with the children's ministries, men's groups, women's groups. The list is long and varied. But in summary, I quote from the words of Paul in the reading today. "Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in love. Honour one another above yourselves, and never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervour serving the Lord. Let's take a moment of quiet contemplation now to listen to the Holy Spirit. What is the Holy Spirit saying to you about serving and offering yourself in ministry?